Thank you for listening to this Calvary Apostolic Church podcast. We believe this message will be a blessing to you. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to join us for worship in the near future. God bless you.
Read something in the Word of God, and it started a series of questions in my mind. Started to mull it over in my spirit, and I think I have a few answers tonight. And since we've been in this service, I think the Lord's added some things to it, especially when we got to that point where Brother Stevens asked us to respond out of thanksgiving. And it seemed as though for some of us it was some bit of trouble to appropriately respond to the promises that had gone forth. I didn't see any fulfillment step into the room in a live form, and maybe some of you know in your body that you were healed, but I did see in promise form some of the answers step into this room tonight. I saw in future tense that some of you were about to have a collision with your provision. I saw that some of you were about to step into a place, and when your feet hit the ground where you were, those things start going to start happening in your life. When you start responding to the man of God and to the word of God, stuff's going to start in motion. It's like you're going to step on a landmine, and there's going to be an explosion of a miracle over here, and you're going to be an explosion of miracle over here, but you got to start moving when the call comes to move. I can't stand still. I can't wait. I've got to step in now when I'm called to step in. Like I preached to you last Sunday night. I think it was last Sunday night. Maybe it was last Sunday morning. I don't remember. But it was a little bit too late when the children of Israel saw the judgment of God that they were going to have to wander 40 years in the wilderness. They said, hey, let's go up right now. And God said, you tell those people if they go up now, they'll be defeated. It'll cost them more than the march in the wilderness would. If they would have responded yesterday when I gave the command to go, if they would have listened to Caleb and Joshua yesterday, I don't want anybody to get into tomorrow and realize you should have responded tonight. Because right now is the moment to step into your miracle. Right now is the moment to thrust full force into the promise of God. Some of you can't afford to wait for it to get any worse before you respond. But I promise if you will respond, it will change. Amen? Amen. Let's go to 1 Kings 17th chapter. And I want to read 8 through 16 to you tonight. 8 through 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. What God had promised was already standing in the gate when he got there. He heard a word from the Lord to go, and he didn't wait for the widow woman to knock on his door. He went. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Elijah looked selfish, but Elijah had a word from the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, and he's going to give her a word from the Lord in the midst of his word from the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. I want to read two of those verses to you. Verse number 12. And he said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have, and she said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. I want to preach to you for a couple of moments tonight from this subject, God's command. God's command. Tell your neighbor, God's command. You may be seated. Brother Stephen started to talk tonight about what I have mentioned multiple times recently about time and eternity and the difference between the two, the fact that God is already in eternity, and so he's not bound by time, but our minds are bound by time. You and I are bound by a clock and a calendar, and our world is dictated and our movements are dictated by what time it is on my watch. I knew to be here for prayer at 8 o'clock this morning that my alarm had to go off at 6:45 so I could get dressed and I could run over and pick up Russ and we could walk in the door by 7:55 to be in the prayer room by 8 o'clock. I knew that it was already on my mind before I went to bed last night that I had things on my calendar and on my agenda for today and that I had to follow a clock to be on time. And I have talked to you repeatedly about the fact that God does not operate according to your clock and my calendar and your calendar. God's already in eternity. He's operating as if there is no clock. And so if he speaks that it's going to happen, he's not sitting there waiting for the day for it to happen. He's just saying it's going to happen. And so he already knows the emotions have been set. And so he's just waiting for you to collide with the word. He's just waiting for your moment to step into the word that's already been spoken. It's bouncing around somewhere in eternity, and he's just waiting for you to intercept the word that's already been spoken. It's been said that radio waves never go away, that they are sent across the radio that you hear in your car, your vehicle. And then they go somewhere in space, and it says that radio waves just continue to bounce around space. And it's been said that astronauts who land someplace in outer space pick up a radio wave and then can hear it if it's years old, because it never goes away. It's just continually bouncing around in space. Whether that's valid or not, but it sure will preach right now. There's a word that's been spoken about some of you, and it seems like it's gone to another planet, like it's gone into outer space, and maybe it crossed your radar and it just left your vehicle, or it left where you were in the moment and it was like a fleeting thought you could not get back. But I am telling you, the promises of God never die. The promises of God never go away. If God has made you a promise, it's out there somewhere waiting for you to get in the right place at the right time, for you to hear the word, for you to adhere to the word, and for the word to perform on your behalf. If you've got a miracle and if you've got a promise you've not seen fulfilled yet, would you just respond in faith right now that God's word's not going to die? Maybe it was at a youth camp somewhere, young people, where you heard the man of God preach a word and you thought, that sounds like it's for me, and now you can't find it. If the word was spoken in eternity, it's still out there for you. Maybe you were here during awakenings and some preacher you didn't even know came up and laid hands on you and made you a promise in the spirit and started to say, thus saith the Lord. And it felt so good at the time, but now you can't even find it. I'm here to tell you tonight that the word of God does not die and it will not return void. Every promise that has been spoken over you, God intends to perform it, whether it be according to your clock or whether it be according to eternity's time, whether it be according to the appointment in eternity or whether it be according to the clock that's on your wrist right now. Amen. Unless there is a timetable attached to it by the man of God from the voice of God to him in his ears, it's probably not going to come on the day you're expecting it. But just because it looks like it's late does not mean it's not available. There's one person in this church that I know of that a prophet of the Lord came and preached in this church, and he looked at him, and I think it was about the month of April or May, and he said, in August, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And he laid out a plan that was maybe 12 or an 18 month plan, and he spoke it to them by month. And they believed every word of it and they wrote it down and they waited for August to get here. And August got here and August passed them by and nothing happened. And so they thought, oh, okay, my expectations were high. And so they tried to calculate how it was going to be performed. And they said that they basically forgot about it because it didn't come to pass. And 3, 4, 5, 6 August later, something happened and they got that prophecy out and they started to keep good records of what was happening. And just as the man of God had prophesied to him, it happened. It happened. It started in August and it went into September and it went into the next month and the next and all the way into the fulfillment of the promise. Every word that had been spoken to them was fulfilled, and they've got a testimony of the fact it may not show up on the August I expected it to, but God's word didn't fall to the ground, and maybe it hasn't come to pass in the month you expected it, on the day you expected it, but if God spoke that word out in the eternity, if that command came in eternity, it's waiting for you to collide with the promise so the fulfillment can start. There are some of you here tonight who are at the end of your backup plan. You are at the end of the end of the end. You've got you've been hanging from that rope and you've got it in your fingertips and you've been gripping it and you've tied as many knots in the end of the rope to get a good grip as you can. And you think, if I slip one more time, it's all over. I cannot hang on to this rope of promise any longer. I can't listen to one more sermon about a promise coming to pass unless my promise comes to pass. But I've been praying about some of you this week. There's a family in here I've been praying about specifically, and you don't know how close you are to the miraculous. You don't know how close you are to seeing God come through on the promise he made you, whether it be in the prayer room that you found, or whether it be by the word of the man of God that God's put in your life, or maybe you just heard God speak in your car one day, and you thought that'd be a real good thing for it to happen in my life, but it hasn't happened yet, and you've thought you had to let go of it because it hasn't happened. Just because the word has not come to pass doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. It just means there's a word in waiting for you. It just means that eternity knows about something you haven't collided with. It just means there's something in your future that you've not run into yet. The question that started this entire message was this: arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Had he commanded it in her ears, or was the word sent through the man of God alone? Because when he got there, she said, oh, you don't understand. I'm about to fix our last meal and then we're going to die. But Elijah had a promise that God had already commanded it. And so whether God's commands come through your ears by way of heaven or whether you hear it across the pulpit from the man of God, it's all true no matter how you get the word. So it's my responsibility as a preacher of the gospel to convince you of the commands and the promises of God. If you look at this, stick with me. If you look at this, Elijah was moving from promise, where the raven had been feeding him, to Zarephath, where the widow was going to feed him. So Elijah was in the midst of the movement from one promise to the other. And the woman was in the midst of moving from one promise to the other as well. But their promises collided so both of them could have a fulfillment of the promises of God. It was all determined by her response to the voice of the man of God. Now, God would have made up another plan for Elijah, because God wouldn't have punished Elijah based on the widow woman's response. But she was able to eat because she responded correctly to the word that the man of God had in his mouth. She was able to eat. She was able to say, I was down to my last meal and then I was going to die. I was one bite away from death. And then the commandment of God came in for me to make a cake for the man of God and then I would not perish. She was faced with a choice. I can eat and die. Or I can bake and live. I can be selfish and eat first and die. Or I can take care of the kingdom and live. I can look at me and mine and we can die. We can laugh over the last meal. Or we can sacrifice one meal and we can live and enjoy life. I can take care of what's mine and die, or I can take care of the man of God and live. This isn't a message for you to give me your last dollar. That's nothing to do with that. But Elijah had to look at that woman in the eyes and say, if you'll bake me a cake, you'll live. Because had Elijah died because of the drought, who would have called forth rain? Because he had said, until I say, there'll be no rain. And so the one promise was waiting on the other promise, because if he would have died, he couldn't have spoken for there to be rain. And so we've got to understand, take care of the kingdom and the kingdom will take care of us. I've got to realize, if I'll take care of the promises, when the promise is spoken and the man of God says, do this and do this, because that's what God's saying. I better do this and do this, because I'll be taken care of. My house will be taken care of and the kingdom will be taken care of. I read those two different verses of scripture. Can I have verse 12, Carrie? And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. What was left in the cruse of oil and the little bit of meal that was left were just going to feed two people. It was just going to take care of mama and her baby boy. That was the only people that that meal was going to feed that night. But go to verse 15, Carrie. And she went and did according to this, the saying of Elijah. And she and he in her house did eat many days. That meal was only going to sustain two people, but I don't know how many people in her house were there, but they ate meal after meal after meal after meal. Maybe she had servants that were dependent on her to respond to the promise. Maybe she had family that had moved in with her that were waiting on her that weren't named in verse number 12, but there was only two people in verse 12, but I find a minimum of three in verse 15. You never know who your obedience is going to affect. You never know who your obedience is going to affect. You never know how many people are going to be able to live off the sustenance of your obedience. Two people were going to die because of disobedience, but because of obedience, many people ate day after day after day. Somebody needs to respond to the call of God in your life. It'd be easier not to respond to the word. It'd be easier not to serve the kingdom and me and mine would die. But when you serve the kingdom, Jim, many live. It'd be so easy if I didn't sacrifice and get up early and go do that ministry at the church. If you make that choice, you and yours die. But because of the sacrifice of the ministry, many live. And so every one of you who get here at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings to pray, and 8:30 to ride the bus, and 8:30 and 8:45 to sing, and the AVL department gets here early, and Gordon gets here real early, and Brian subs in for him. I see you back there, Justin, leaving your sick wife who has bronchitis for the second week in a row and your baby at home. Maybe you could take care of you and yours, but it might cost you your spirituality and your walk with God. But your sacrifice will bring life to many, Justin. Vinny, you could stay home and say, hey, Jen, Ashley, Aubrey and Hudson need me. I can't leave and preach. But every time you go out and preach, God puts a hedge of protection on that family right there. And you might feel like you just want to go home sometimes. But how many times has your voice got across the pulpit and you've let the word of God flow through you and you've saved many because you were willing to sacrifice for your family's sake? And so we've got a promise that if we'll take care of the kingdom, Elijah, you could stay home from Bible school. You could just do the things that are easy and comfortable and just get a job and make decent money. But the call of God's on your life. And because you're sacrificing now and maybe you're not doing all the things you want to do because the flesh wants to do some things that seem more fun. But when the Spirit draws you to sacrifice, many are taken care of, like verse 15. But if you live in verse 12, you'll die. And just you and a couple that are in your house that are just waiting on what you can provide. But when you start preparing meals from the ingredients that God provides. She said, I've got the two sticks and I've got the meal and the oil. And that's what I bring to the table. And me and mine can die after we eat. But the man of God said, hey, I've got the formula for life after the meal. I've got the ingredients for life after the meal. Respond to the commandments of God. Don't let one fall on deaf ears. If you dig into the word and you hear it preached and it doesn't strike you as something that's very fun to do, it's probably because your flesh wants more than your spirit wants. It was mentioned in the prayer room tonight. Vinny mentioned it. That pastor preached straight from the word of God to us. And that flesh rose up because flesh doesn't like to be tangled with. Right, Lincoln? Yeah, thank you. Your parents are thrilled that's what you said. Flesh starts to rise up, Spencer. It starts to bob and say, no. That's the area I control. What the widow woman could have gone home and done is died in her disgust with the man of God. And all the way home, she could have said, in the street, she could have walked through the market and said, did you hear Elijah came to town? Everybody knew Elijah by what he wore. It was no shock and no secret who that man was when he walked into town that day in Zarephath. But he met her at the gate, and there were people at the gate, and they watched how she responded to what that man said. The voice of the man of God is not a secret in our ears. This word I'm preaching is not a secret to one or two of you, but it's to be revealed to all of you. So she could have walked home and said, I can't believe, maybe her boy was with her that day and she grabbed him by the hand and she put disgust for the voice of the man of God in his ears if she would have chosen to badmouth Elijah and say that selfish old prophet thinks that he's just going to come eat our meal and we're going to die while he eats. That old man just wants to get fat for himself. That old prophet's just trying to feed his own belly. Son, listen now. When the man of God God starts to look for things for himself, you just run from that. That's not God's voice. That's what she could have done. She could have stopped at her best friend's house on the way home and said, you wouldn't believe how selfish that Elijah is. What a fool for him to believe that I should eat second and he should eat first. But the word says that God commanded him to speak. And what she did was, she saved many in Zarephath because she said, you know what? I believe that Elijah's heard from God before. And if he says, I can keep pouring out of the same vessel that looks to me to be empty. I measured it and I've got enough for just one cake. Do you realize the miracle started before she ever served him his meal? She had enough to make hers and his. Before his bite, his teeth ever sunk into the first bite, the miracle had already started. Some of you need to believe and you need to respond that your miracle is directly related to your response. Not the amount of your response always, but the timing of your response. The reason it's not always the amount is because we wait for the fulfillment and then we jump for joy and leap and dance and shout. And then we want to tell everybody our testimony. But the timing of our response is sometimes more important than the amount of our response. She did it immediately. She said, if that's what the man of God is trying to tell me, I can go bake a cake. He asked her to do something that she knew how to do. He didn't ask her to prophesy. He didn't ask her to do something she didn't know how to do. He said, go home and bake me a cake. Go home and do something you already know how to do. You've been planning for this day for years. You've been baking for that boy in your house for years. Now, mama, go home and bake me a cake. And God's calling some of you to just go home and do what you've already been doing and realize that you need to give God what's first before you take what's yours and then you die as a result of it. But you give God and just pour it out and say, God, this one's for you. This one's for you, God. I'm going to put, wait a second. That's more than I thought I had. That's more than I actually needed. Hey, there's enough for me and my boy. There's enough for my house. And it says that they all ate from it many days afterward. Some of you have measured your current circumstances and you've got enough salary for 1 week left. You can pay your bills until this time and then God's got to show up. She had measured her lifespan based on what she currently had. And then Elijah stepped in and said, hey, if you'll do the command of God from verse 12. If you'll do the command of God. I have questions. Did she hear the command and refuse it? Because it says that God commanded her. And Elijah had to convince her of the command. I don't know what all God's commanded you to do. I'm just here to convince you of the command. I don't know what God's spoken to you in totality. I'm just here to convince you that God really has spoken to you. I don't know all the details of the command God's given you, but I'm just here as the voice and the mouthpiece of God to convince you that God will do what God has said he would do. Would you respond in faith for just a couple of moments? If you believe that, would you just rejoice for a moment as if it's already come to pass? Somebody's just one moment and response away from the miraculous. Your time is about to collide with your eternity. Your response is going to determine the size of the miraculous. Somebody push just a moment in the spirit. I'll preach a little bit longer. Hey, Yarabo Shata Yaraba Baba Hashata Yaraba. Hey, Yarabo Shayaraba Baba Hashata Yaraba. Hey, Yarabo Shata Yarabo Shata Yaraba. Yarabo Shanda Yaraba Baba Hashata Yaraba. Somebody step into their miraculous moment right now. Somebody step into the promise that God commanded a few verses ago in your life. Somebody's in verse 9 and you're waiting to get to verse 15, but the thing that's in the middle is your response. You can eat now and die, or you can respond and live. No. Do you know when the miraculous started for her? At the end of her backup plan. At the end of her provision is where the miraculous started. And some of you haven't measured out. All right, God, if you don't come through by this day, it's over. It's no happenstance. It's no coincidence that Elijah stepped through the gate of Zarephath right before her last meal. It is no coincidence that I'm preaching to you tonight when some of you have made decisions that if I don't get what I need tonight, tomorrow I've got to come up with my own solution. I've got to search elsewhere for an answer. I've got to get my answer from another source. And Elijah steps through the gate and said, are you the woman that lives at such and such an address? Yes, sir. What you gathering sticks? Why? So I can cook one more meal for me and my boy and we can die. You're the one. Can you just go get me something to drink? That's why I talked about finance tonight. Because some of you have looked and you can't afford to give according to time. But according to eternity, you can't afford not to give. According to the promises of God, you can't afford to hold back when you write out that envelope. If I give, I won't have. But keeping for yourself causes death, according to 1 Kings chapter number 17. So I can keep and die, or I can give and live. I can keep it for myself, and me and mine can die. Or I can give it so everybody around me can live. Her miraculous started at the end of herself. When she had calculated, had she broken the news to her boy yet? Hey, buddy, when I get home, I'm making you your favorite meal. If my mom came to me and said, son, after dinner tonight, you and I are going to die. I'd say, mom, please don't make it meatloaf. And for goodness sake, not angel hair pasta spaghetti. But baked chicken and mashed potatoes with rolls, corn and grape jelly for the rolls, and sweet tea made at the house. And she presents me with an ultimatum. Jimmy, I love you so much. And I've got an opportunity for you and I to live. So I can make you baked chicken with breadcrumbs. Mashed potatoes that look like clouds. And corn with a little bit of pepper and butter on top. Or I can give this meal away and we can live. Mom and dad, don't let your children make decisions they're not mature enough to make. If you see them eating the meal that belongs to the house of God, stop them before your family dies. Because in my adolescent years, I'd say, Mom, that's my favorite meal. And so if we're going to go out, let's go out in style. But now that I've got some years on me, Elijah, I'd say, Mom, you mean to tell me if we just go without, you're telling me the promises of God are going to come to pass? until it rains. So what he did to her was he said, I've got a miracle for you that's going to last till the next one gets here. If you can skip one meal, I've got something that's going to keep you till the drought ends. That boy knew what the drought was like. That boy knew what it was like to ration food. That son knew what it was like for mom to measure out to the very just minute measurement. Okay, we got to eat this. Now don't overeat. Mom, can you make the cake a little bit bigger today? No, we've got to make it last because I feel like something's coming down our road. And some of you husbands and wives have been talking to one another in the car. Hey, let's cut back a little bit because we're getting to the end, but I believe there's a miracle on the other side of it. And some of you have had the decisions, okay, we're going to get rid of this because we can't afford this. And then you hear the call for the offering plate to get passed by you every week. And tonight I said, maybe some of you need to give a little extra. And maybe you just had a conversation with your spouse. We've got to start keeping back a little bit. And we can't go shopping. We can't go out to eat this much. And when we do go out to eat, for goodness sake, kids, don't get Coke, get water. I don't know if the amen was for my preaching or for your kids to hear you to stop getting Coke that costs $2.50 instead of water that's free. But some of you have had those tough conversations, the spouse, the spouse. And some of you single people have said, if God doesn't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm at the end of my spiritual rope. And then Elijah steps through the gate and says, are you the woman with the son that's about to prepare the last meal? I don't know what she did when he said it. I want to know the look on her face, but we'll probably never know. But I know what she did that got him to the barrel of oil that never went dry. And God's speaking to some of you to give a little bit more. God's speaking to some of you to write another check tonight. I have no intention of preaching about finance, but it's on my heart tonight. Some of you have been hoarding to live, but if you hoard, you're going to die. But if you will give, you can live. If you're struggling with my message tonight, some of you need to go back on our podcast and you need to search the name Harold Hoffman. And you need to listen to the message he preached here on our anniversary about 5 years ago, The Curious Case of Harry Starner. Be seated. I want to preach a little bit longer. Did he preach the same story? I didn't know that. I just know the Harry Starner part. Harry Starner, I'll tell some of you the story, help you tonight, and then you can go listen to the better version. Harry Starner had a desire to be in the military. Does anybody remember what his deficiency was that he couldn't? He couldn't pass the physical. And he repeatedly went and tried to pass the physical, but couldn't get accepted because of a deficiency. And so he said, you know what? I may not be physically capable to go, but I can help people who get there. And so every time he was eligible to donate blood, he went and donated blood. He went and laid there while everybody else was shooting guns on the firing range. And he laid there in that bed, propped back a little bit for 15, 20 minutes as they drew blood out of his arm. Just kept drawing blood. And every time he'd go back, they'd just pull more blood out of him. And I'm sure he thought, you know what? I can run as fast as they can. I can jump the walls they jump. And I'm a sharp shooter. And no one will give me the chance because I can't pass the physical. I'm a liability on the battlefield. But he kept giving blood because it was the one thing Harry could do. And some of you feel like your ministry is so weak, minuscule, and small. And you think, I have nothing to give. But if you can give what you're capable of giving, God will make up the rest. You might not feel like you're the most talented. You might feel like you get lost in the crowd of everybody else's abilities. But if you will give the part that God has destined you to give and designed you to give, you will make a difference. Years went by, and Harry tried one more time. And Harry passed the physical, and he was accepted.
Harry went to the battlefield and suffered a serious injury. They took him to the hospital and he was hemorrhaging blood. And they laid him down in that hospital overseas. And they hooked him up to an IV and they said, we've got to give him more blood. He's laying thousands of miles from home in a place he'd always dreamed of going, Isaac. Hooked up to these machines. And he looks up and the bag of blood says, donated by Harry Starter. By giving, he lived. And if he would have kept it, he would have died. Some of you can't afford to keep it any longer. It's your salvation. Some of you need to give and live instead of keeping and dying. You've got promises that are you think are dead, but you just haven't collided with the word in eternity yet. What's a bag of blood to the United States Army? If you're the man who needs it, it's everything. If you're the one who's hemorrhaging blood thousands of miles from home, it's everything. And so when you don't feel like scheduling another weekend out, it's everything. When you don't feel like going and getting a new message for where you're going next, it's everything. When you don't feel like studying 20 hours for another 1 hour lesson, it's everything. Because it's not the one lesson that you teach that's so profound. It's the fact in 10 years, when someone calls you on the spur of the moment and says, Scott, I need you to teach tonight. I know it's 5 p.m., but I need you to study and be there in 2 hours. You're going to be able to go through the years of study, and you're going to be able to pull things from here and pull things from there. And so it's not just for the one time, it's for the collective times that you need to just yank one thing together and make a whole lesson or a whole sermon out of it. Some of you sit here tonight, God, why? I've had a burden for you all for the last few weeks. I don't know why you face what you face, but I know he's able. I know he's capable, and I know he's faithful. You know him to be faithful too. If you know God to be faithful, would you just stand with me tonight? If I could sing real good, I'd sing, He's Been Faithful. Just sing it for a second.
He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. In my heart, I had questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me.
He's been faithful to some of you. I don't know what He had already done for the widow, but she had enough history with God to know if the man of God says it, God will perform it. So if you need the faithfulness of God tonight and you're at the end of your rope, and if you eat this last meal, that means death, but you're willing to give, I want you just to walk to this altar tonight. If you're willing to say, God, if I've got it and you want it, here I am. Some of you need to find an old-fashioned altar that you haven't been to in a while. Maybe you need to go to a different spot because you're comfortable with 3 minutes of prayer and moving on. But there's a miracle atmosphere here right now. The miraculous power of Jesus Christ is moving through this room right now. You can do your own will and die, or you can give in and live. Somebody cry out. Somebody seek his face tonight. Somebody move into the presence of the Lord, where my will ends and the miraculous begins. Somebody cry out to the Lord right now. You've been planning the last meal and God put an ultimatum here.